Coming up on this episode of the MD and Chef Team Show.
The brain has been associated with bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, depression, suicidal behavior, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, obsessive compulsive disorder, all those different things going on has been associated with chronic inflammation of the brain.
Welcome to the show from the MD and Chef Team. I'm Dr. Isabel, medical doctor here at the MD and Chef Team. And who are you?
And I'm Chef Michael, culinary nutrition expert. I'm the chef part of the team.
And what are we going to talk about, babe? Now, I can say that because he's my husband.
Yes. Well, then we'll be talking about marriage, relationships, parenting, intimacy.
Ooh.
We'll talk about mindsets of success, overcoming depression, anxiety. I'll be getting into functional nutrition, recipes and tips from the kitchen. And we're going to both get into how to live a long, healthy, vibrant life.
Yes, I love it. Our mission is to help you prevent and reverse disease and give you hope in the process. Oh, yeah, we like to have fun too.
Hello, and welcome to the MD and Chef Team podcast. This is Michael, nutritional chef here at Doctor on a Mission, and I'm joined, as always, by my beautiful wife, Isabel, your Dr. Isabel, MD at Doctor on a Mission.
Hello, everyone, and I'm here with my handsome hunkabunka chef, Chef Michael.
Oh, thank you. Okay, we're out of here. Yes, we do like to make learning fun, okay? So
yeah,
if you're not into having a little bit of a giggle along the way, it's probably not the one for you.
A big giggle.
Well, we are in part two of Is Your Brain on Fire? If you missed Is Your Brain on Fire Part 1, highly suggest going back and catching Part 1 first, because we'll just do a quick recap on that. But if you want to get the full story on the setup of what chronic inflammation is and what we're talking about and why are we talking about your brain on fire, we really get into it in Part 1. But we're going to continue the conversation today in Part 2, Is Your Brain on Fire, and specifically the term chronic inflammation.
Sizzle, sizzle.
Sizzle, sizzle.
Burn. Is your brain a forest fire?
Yes. And a quick recap, chronic inflammation, little couple words there, inflammation. Inflammation, we hear that all the time, but just think of inflammation is fire. There's a fire going on in your body system somewhere. It's a natural response of your body. Something happening, something is foreign to your body system, and it is taking care of it. But the one we're talking about today is chronic inflammation, because there is acute inflammation and chronic inflammation. Now, acute is when, let's say you cut yourself, you have a big injury, your body will go into swelling. It will, you know, create a scab over that cut or that hurt and heal itself. You might get black and blue. But these things happen when it's acute, you get taken care of, and then the fire goes out, because once you've healed, the body doesn't need to do that anymore. You're good to go, and it's all good. The body's done what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. The body is so smart.
The body is amazing.
Oh, I love the body. It's so good.
Yes, it is so cool when we really understand how it all works.
Wow.
Wow. Yes, we're talking today about chronic inflammation of the body and specifically of the brain. Now, chronic inflammation is when that fire just keeps going.
And going.
Yes.
Like for weeks and months and years and decades.
Yes, yes. It keeps on going. And why should we care about chronic inflammation and brain health? Well, here's just a few things. So chronic inflammation the brain has been associated with bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, depression, suicidal behavior, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, obsessive compulsive disorder, all those different things going on has been associated with chronic inflammation of the brain. Well, when we get into talking about brain health, because Isabel and I here at Doctor on a Mission, what do you say when you talk about mental health?
Well, I always say, from my experience being a suicide survivor as a medical doctor in the healthcare system in 2014, and realizing, wow, this is what it's like for my patients to be dealing in mental illness, is that the research shows that we don't have a mental illness issue. We're focusing on the wrong thing. That's the downstream event. What we really should be focusing on is upstream, which is our brain health, and learning to take good care of our brain health and all the contributors that keep us in tip-top form so that we don't have the downstream event. And like my mentor and our mentor, Mark Hyman, says, dealing with the downstream event, like anxiety and depression, is kind of like mopping up the floor while the sink is overflowing instead of turning off the faucet, which is the upstream event,
yeah,
taking good care of our brain health. And that's what we do here, is turn off the faucet.
Yeah. I mean, we can keep on mopping it up, but that's silly. We've got to address the contributors. And that's part of what we did. Now, we've touched on a few in part one, because again, we're talking about chronic inflammation and brain health. So all those different disorders and mental illnesses I talked about, those are the downstream events. We want to talk about, okay, well, what do we do to put the fire out? Because we don't want the fire to just keep blazing away. That's when those different disorders we talked about, where when the fire has just gone to a full blaze, you end up going to a medical professional and they say, oh, you've got OCD, you've got bipolar, you're schizophrenic, you've got depression, you got Alzheimer's. That's when you have a full-on blaze that's been going on for a while. So we want to be able to make sure we address it before we get into the blaze and put that fire out. So a couple of ways we talked about in part one to put that fire out. So you have the extinguisher to put this fire out. And these are some of the contributors. One is nutrition, understanding that excess glucose, excess sugar, running through our body systems and into our brain, which is, you know, the body is connected to the brain. Without getting into all the details of that, yes, it's all connected, is that sugar is like pouring petrol on that flame, or gasoline, whatever you want to say in your part of the world. But it's that sugar is like pouring gasoline on that fire that's going. And if you got a small fire, boom, now all of a sudden we got a flame. We got to be careful of that. So we want to be getting to more natural eating, clean. And we talked about that in part one. So check that out.
Are you afraid of having Alzheimer's? Well, you don't have to anymore. You see, the most up-to-date medical research now shows us having Alzheimer's is an option. Yes, you heard me right. Having Alzheimer's is an option. You can learn how by having your very own personalized pre-code report. Now, you're probably asking me, what is a pre-code report? Great question. Pre-code stands for Preventing Cognitive Decline. And the pre-code report shows you what unique areas you can start working on right away. All of this has been made available by my genius mentor and medical doctor, Dr. Dale Bredesen, who has been researching this for 30 plus years and wrote the best book ever called The End of Alzheimer's. Having Alzheimer's is now an option. There is hope. For more information on how to get your pre-code underway, look for the link in the show notes. Now, back to the podcast.
And also in part one, we addressed hydration. You want to make sure you're totally hydrated. And that is through water, not coffee, tea, and soda drinks, and fizzy drinks, and all that stuff. Not sugary drinks, but water, and check that out. So today, let's address two more areas to help us to put out the flame. One area is exercise. It's amazing what exercise does for our brain health. Number one, it gets the heart going, it gets the blood flowing, because as you talked about in part one, we've got a liter of blood flowing through our brain every minute, so we want to make sure that keeps on flowing.
That's right.
And pumping.
And good oxygenated blood.
Oxygenated blood.
Because oxygen is food for the brain.
Right on. You know, hey, maybe right now you are not moving much at all. So we recommend get at least walking 30 to 60 minutes a day. Just get your body moving. Whatever you can do just to get moving. Maybe you're someone that's struggling just to get moving. Just set a goal to, let's say, 30 minutes a day. Just get walking. Something. Just get the body moving.
Just start 20 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day.
Yes.
Just let's start someplace. Yeah.
When you go in a parking lot, park a little bit further away, you know, so you have to walk just slightly more. Let's do a little bit more walking.
Our daughters go wild when we go to the grocery store because I park like way at the other end. And they're Mom.
Get a little extra walk in. Why not?
Mom. I go, yep, it's me driving.
Plus, there's usually nobody parked around. It's like you're better off with not getting little dings in your car when you park in the crowd.
True.
That's another reason why I like it. Yeah. Save the car. And if you're already exercising or doing something, then keep it up. And these are a couple areas you want to look at, not just aerobic type of exercise, but what is so important, and especially as we age, because as we age, we lose muscle mass. Is we want to keep doing, we want to be doing resistance exercise. That's when you're doing weights, even body resistance, but you are putting resistance on your muscles to strengthen your muscles and to continue to keep your muscle mass up and even grow it, which you can. And one thing to definitely do is be working on your leg strength, because we do know that leg strength has a direct correlation to good brain strength.
The stronger your thighs, the stronger your brain.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
That research blew me away. That's why I do my million squats a day. No, I don't.
100.
At least 100.
Yeah. So squats, just basic squats. You know, if you want to start with 5 a day for 5 times a week or whatever you can work up to. But leg strength is so, so important for brain health. And also as we age, it's for our stability. I'm sure we all know of somebody in our extended families who is of mature age that has probably had an accident, fallen, lost their balance, tripped, hurt themselves, ended up in surgery or problems, and all of a sudden now they can't move at all, and they can go downhill very quickly, and it's usually just losing that stability because we don't have the leg strength and the muscle strength, and it's also good for brain health. Mm-hmm. So get the body moving. Because that'll help with chronic inflammation and lower that. Because that's what we want to do, is lower that chronic inflammation. Now, let's look at one other area.
Babe, do they have to join a gym?
No.
To do resistant training?
No, we
do it at home.
We do it at home.
We got a couple of different weights and we just go on YouTube and follow a certain person and she just helps us stay strong.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the type of person that wants to go to the gym because you need that from the motivation point of view, fantastic, but you don't have to. Yeah, like Isabel said, for us, now, fortunate for us, we're together and we motivate each other.
Yeah, you go, we're doing 20 minutes of legs today. I'm like, okay.
Well, you know, for a couple $100, you can get yourself plenty of goodies at home that you can work on your resistance and get that going. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't need the gym.
No, you don't. And the other thing today is we want to talk about managing stress. This is so, so important for brain health because let's admit it, we've all got stress in our lives. I mean, if you don't have stress in your life, I'm not quite sure what could be going on. I don't know. You know, if you don't.
Not living here on earth.
With society, you possibly in, but don't have any stress. But so it's not about eliminating stress, but it's managing it so that we don't have that chronic inflammation of the brain from stress.
I do want to interject here that stress increases our cortisol hormone. And cortisol, we know, will shrink a part of the brain called the hippocampus, which is our memory center. So we do want to learn how to control our stress response so that our cortisol level, our hormone levels aren't high and our memory center isn't shrinking.
Yes. Yeah. Great.
That's
point.
Why I always try and control my stress.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to have good memory.
You don't want your memory center shrinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and another one is that we don't really talk about much. I mean, we do, but you don't hear it out there much, is understanding that the connection between gut health and brain health, that it only takes 2 hours of psychological stress to completely change the gut bacteria. in your gut, of course, change the bacteria in your gut. So your microbiome can go through a change or an imbalance in your gut in just 2 hours.
That's amazing.
Of stress and high stress, meaning 2 hours of just, you know, maybe you're at a family event and your family events are stressful. And that does happen a lot. And that can actually throw off your microbiome in your gut, throw off the balance of the bacteria in your gut. And then that actually inhibits and activates some of the, it might activate the bad bacteria and inhibit the making of the good bacteria in your brain, in your gut. And then that has a direct correlation to your brain health. And it becomes something that just throws everything off in your system. So understand that psychological stress and stress of life in situations can really, really throw us off, not just our brain, but our whole body systems. So, okay, so what do we do about it? So when we talk about managing stress, we'll just give you a few examples. So whether you're into yoga, prayer, meditation, whatever it may be for you, but for Isabel and I, we have a prayer time in the morning where we individually have our prayer time with God and we spend time getting our mindset for the day. Because I can tell you, and I have a feeling the person sitting next to me is going to verify this too, is that if I don't get my mindset right before I launch into the world,
oh my God,
this world's got a fair amount of negativity in it, and it's going to come at you, and the stressors are going to come at you, and stuff's going to come from, as the saying goes, from left field, that you're like, wow, where did that come from? How did that happen? Boom, boom, boom. And if I don't get my mindset right, if I'm not into my prayer time in the morning and get my mind right, man, I get messed up pretty quickly. How about you, my dear?
I always say, I am not fit for human consumption until I get out of the room with God and my coffee. That kind of gets my brain right and my heart right to deal with the world.
Yeah, yeah. And whatever that may be for you, but it might be just reading a good book in the morning or something, or even just being by yourself in a quiet time. But what's important to understand is the morning setup before you launch into the world is so important. We highly suggest not just grabbing a cup of coffee and launching out into the world, because the world's probably going to start kicking you around right away and become very stressful very quick. And like we said, that can really, really long term, that can create that chronic inflammation in the brain. So, right. And then during the day, whatever you may need to do. Hey, we were talking to a young lady on Sunday who was telling us that at her job Monday through Friday is very, very stressful. And a lot of times, you know, she just tells everybody, sends out an email to the crew and says, I'm taking a break for a walk. And she just gets out of the office and goes for a walk, whether it's 5, 10, 15 minutes, a half hour. Mm-hmm. But she's got very wise that it's like she knows her limits and says, nope, this is piling up. I'm going for a walk.
That's her boundary. Yeah, she puts up her boundaries.
And is able to come back. So whatever you got to do during the day to manage the stress and not just let it keep coming at you, coming at you, coming at you, thinking, yeah, I can handle all this and taking it all on. Well, chronically, long-term, that can get on top of you and actually create that chronic inflammation in the brain. And this is another way of you having the fire extinguisher to put that fire out in the brain.
Be your own fire person.
Yes. Hey, so we're going to wrap it up today. So is your brain on fire? It's about chronic inflammation in the brain. This is part two. There was a part one. Listen to them both back to back because it'll really help you understand that this is an important part for our body systems and our brain systems so that we have long-term functioning of our brain and we stay sharp, we stay focused, we keep our good memory, we keep the brain functioning strong into our last breath here on earth because that's what we'd love to see that for you. That's our goal.
Mm-hmm. Together.
Yes.
Let's do this together, okay?
You're right on.
All right.
You could be the CEO of your health. You take it, you run with it. We'd love to hear from you. If you got anything, any feedback or comments, suggestions, send it on back. And
We'll get back to you.
We'll get back to you. Like, subscribe, and share. All righty. This is Chef Michael here with my beautiful wife, Dr. Isabel. Thanks for popping on by.
Have a super fantastic day. Bye.
Bye. See ya.
Hello, Chef Michael here. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would love it if you subscribed to the podcast and left us a review.